This is fun! The FU Network.
For he's a jolly good fellow. For he's a jolly good fellow. For he's a jolly good fellow. Let's all say on the bus.
Welcome to Mansplaining. I'm Ed the Sock. And joining me is our panel this week, Sean Wilton, Justin Whitehead, Hafiz Narani, Andrew Willis, all of them on the West Coast. I'm on the East Coast, so I appreciate them getting up real early to record this because I would not get up as early as they did. Our topic today, I will turn to our producer, Hafiz Narani, to tell us what we're going to talk about. Hafiz?
So today's topic, I thought we'd take an interesting deep dive into the world of incels, Proud Boys, and all the other dudes that are sort of failing in life and being loud about it. And maybe do a little investigation into why are so many men turning to these sort of alternate organizations and finding their male sort of identity through them. What has given rise to this movement in our society?
All right. That's a pretty deep topic. I mean, Proud Boys and people like that, that are largely racist underpinning organizations, and incels, which is a relatively new thing that people are aware of, which is basically guys who are bitter because they don't get dates because they believe society owes them attractive women to go out with them. And when that doesn't happen, they get really bitter. Two different groups, but there is at their core a bitterness, an anger at general society, a feeling like society is somehow trying to rob them of their masculinity and their manly identities. And yeah, it's a good question. Why are there so many of them that there's terms and there's organizations? Yes, go ahead.
There's a reason I've brought them together, because Gavin McInnes, when he started his Proud Boys movement, did it for the very much the same reasons the incels exist, because there's a group of men, mostly white younger men, that have an issue of being left behind by sort of women and have a criticism against women's rights, an issue of, you know, not being able to find dates. And his Proud Boys movement was mainly about finding pride and being a male again. And it links in with the incels, because I think there are two different groups which have very much the same characteristics, but different ways of acting out.
All right. Sean Wilton, did you ever, when you were growing up or as an adult, did you ever think that society, because you were male, owed you any kind of female attention?
No, not at all. I had to go out and get it if I wanted it.
Yeah, it's called personality and showing respect and shit like that. Justin Whitehead, you ever been mad that, do you ever feel that society is encroaching on your masculinity?
When I was in my late teens to early 20s, I think there was something there that went through my mind, that societally, you know, as a man, I was around the age where I was expected to be finding a partner, thinking about starting a family, all that sort of stuff.
Wait, you were 18 or 19?
Yeah.
What were you, Amish? Were you building barns?
Early 20s. I don't know where it came from, but it was definitely there. And I looking back, you know, it seems alien now, but at the time, that's what it felt like I was supposed to do.
You felt what you were supposed to do, but did you feel that society owed you any of those things?
At that time, I did, for some reason. I think I grew up a little bit in some churches and whatnot. So I think at that point in my life, there was something that had kind of got in there from the whole the church experience, was that, you know, it's this is about the time in your life where you should be finding a nice Christian wife and starting to have children and all that. It was there. And looking back, it's very strange, but it was definitely.
Well, that was
there.
Pressure you put on yourself. I'm not hearing from you that you thought some nice Christian girl should be giving herself to you out of obligation to have your children.
That was the implication at that time, was that, you know, if I was a good Christian and I did everything properly and I came to church and all that, that
That was your reward?
I would be rewarded with a partner to have, you know. That was what it was.
That a spouse was a reward. All right. Interesting point of view from back then. And yeah, it is kind of alien. Hafiz, your thoughts. Have you ever felt that society was in any way trying, that the advancement of women has in any way taken away your rights as a man?
No, in fact, I think it's added to my field of, you know, women that have actually dated me, because I personally like dating someone that is self-sufficient and, you know, is their own person. And I never really had this concept of a woman being a possession. You know, like you always say, my girlfriend, my wife, as though this is something you own. And just to go to Justin's point, though, I mean, I come from, you know, an Indian society, and there is, even in there, some of the same things Justin's talking about, because, you know, in those cultures, both the Muslim and the Hindu cultures, you have arranged marriages. So, you know, the more pious you are, the more well-connected your family is, you are given a woman, right? Yeah. Whether or not you want that is a completely different story, but there are a lot of men that in that those cultures get those things, and when they move to North America, they kind of are left behind because they're not socialized into connecting with women.
All right, now let me ask you guys, Andy, I'll come to you, but I want to ask you guys, where do you think growing up in North American society, for those of you in the panel who did, where do you think the messages came from that somehow just being a man meant that you were owed a relationship with a woman that you considered traditionally attractive, and that you deserved and were supposed to have a position of power just because you're a guy? Where do you think these kinds of messages came from? Now, Andy, you're younger than the rest of us, so you would be subjected to probably very different media messages. Did you ever get those messages from media?
Well, yeah, certainly I wasn't getting who I think is hot via Florence Henderson, but I would say, though, that I definitely think I Justin, I can relate to you. I grew up in a very religious, homeschooled background out in the valley, and it was pretty dim. It was really scary. There wasn't much information coming to me other than what was going on in my home. And, you know, there's like 10 of us in the house, 9 of us in the house. And, you know, we just expect what we read in the Bible to be true, and church. So, but getting back to Ed's question, Ed, you're asking me about specifically
messaging. Did you ever receive, now being somebody who's gay, I guess you wouldn't have received been the target of messages in the media said that you were that you should be rewarded, or that anything was owed to you because you were a white man and you deserved a spouse that you considered attractive as part of the trappings, the rite of passage of just being a white man.
Certainly. I mean, I think that there's more than just one message being sent to people. And I think that something that people pick up on is that women are supposed to be pretty, and they're supposed to, you know, and it even goes back to the Bible, to bathe, to be clean, to present yourself to your husband as you know, with cleanliness. And certainly in media messages, yeah, women are presented as these goddess-like creatures, same with men. But no, I definitely didn't expect a wife to be thrust upon me, but if she was, I would hope she would be hot, you know?
What would you do with her? You're gay.
You know what? I played around, I fooled around. But I think also too, gay men, we do have this expectation that women are supposed to be this ultra femininity, partly because we have this anger that we cannot. So, I think gay men are just as complicit as straight men, some. I'm not going to blanket statement say every man or every gay man or straight man, but yeah, definitely we are complicit in that sort of toxicity for sure.
All right. Sean, where do you think these messages have come from that have fed these groups that they're somehow their male power that they're entitled to is being eroded, and that they're also somehow entitled to certain things, such as a certain degree of power, a certain degree of wealth, a certain degree of job security, and the wife of their choosing.
Well, that's easy. It's the internet. Because I think these people always existed, even back in the days when we were in high school. But they didn't have a medium to be able to all go on and share their dislike for the short end of the stick they got in life. And now they do, and they have places like 4chan, 8chan, and so on and so forth to be able to get together and have these things and basically become a group. And that's how groups like the Proud Boys and so on and so forth come to be. And
all right, well, let me ask you something.
Sure.
You're talking about effect. You're talking about these people on the internet complaining about what they don't have or what they should have had and what's been taken from them. What I'm wondering is, where did they ever get the notion that they ever should have or were entitled to any of that?
I think it's just that's part of who they are. I think, as I say, I think these people always had this sort of mentality. It could have been from their parent, or their parents could have given it to them through basically passed it down, or it could be a friend. It could be, basically groups of friends that could do it. The influences come from all over, but I don't think you can really take the media and say the media is any worse now than it was before, and that's why we're seeing an uptick in these types of groups. I think it's these people always existed, but now that they have a huge megaphone called the internet, we're able to see it happen, where before it was probably very small, little contained groups of people. But that's about the only way I can really say.
Okay. Justin Whitehead, thoughts?
Yeah, so I remember watching some older TV shows, and I don't ever remember seeing this particular dynamic there. It was more from, I'd say, like the early 90s onwards, where you'd see these, and I think you guys did a whole episode on this, you'd see these fat, bumbling, sort of buffoonish men who were very much traditionally not the norm for attractiveness in personality or physicality. And they'd be with these gorgeous women and all these sitcom shows. And I think it sort of, there could have been some sort of societal impact from that, in that, it could lower men's expectations for themselves in that, oh, well, if I just, this guy got this beautiful, wonderful woman, and look at him, all I have to do is just be slightly better.
Yeah. So why should I have to work on my personality, work mm-hmm. on my approach to people, work on my respect for people, work on my physicality? Why should I have to do that? Jim Belushi didn't, Kevin James didn't, and look at the wives they got. I think, we did do an episode on that, and I really do think that a combination of religious traditions mixed with media messages have given these guys the idea that there were certain things that were going to be, it's like when you graduate university, you get a diploma that when they reached a certain point, being men, often white men, they thought that just because they existed as white men, they'd be given all of these good jobs and the spouse of their choice. Andy Willis has a comment to make. Andy?
Well, you said earlier about women, and I can't recall exactly what the exact quote was, but I believe it was, you said something along the lines of, have women taken away men's rights? And I mean, maybe it's a little late in the game to mention it now, but I will say that, yeah, I think that women have taken away men's rights, for sure.
What are you talking about?
They've taken away the right to be absolute dicks and assholes and overpower.
That was never a right.
No, I exactly. But then that ties into why these men end up freaking out and going ballistic about it is because they believe it is their God-given right. So
women are just getting too uppity as far as they're concerned.
I think women and people of color and, trans people, a lot of people are saying, hey, we've had enough of how things are going and we want to kind of get a little bit more respect. And I think what's happening with these men is that they're saying, hey, we're entitled to something and we're not having that entitlement reciprocated. And, you know, I think they're seeing a shift in power. And that's definitely for sure at any point in history when you have that big social shift, it freaks people out. One thing I did want to say, though, is on top of all that, is that I think for sure a large part of what these men are feeling is they're taking a singular issue, something, an aspect of their life, and they're applying it to a larger thing. So let's say, you know, they don't have the best education or they don't have enough money or their jobs are sucking and they're seeing that there are women getting XYZ or people of color getting XYZ or refugees coming in and getting dental care and they're, you know, having a rotten tooth. And yeah, they're going to apply this singular issue and find a group of other people who are feeling that same hatred. And they're going to go off on that tangent. So
they feel that other people are getting a better deal than they are, that they're actually, their entitlement has been reversed.
Yeah, exactly. Or maybe, but here's the thing. No man with a fat ass with a boil on it and, you know, sitting behind a computer all day doing jack shit with their life has ever been entitled to any form of, creature. God only knows. You kind of got to work a little bit for what you want. So, yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, definitely.
All right. Sean has something he wants to add.
I was just going to say about the rise of geek culture and the what used to be considered, I guess, ostracized type people are now into the mainstream. I think it's kind of risen a bit with that as well, where you had people who, I guess, were kind of the Bill Gates and stuff during the at that point where they were kind of put off to the side. Now these people are the mainstream, and you know, basically everybody is a geek at this point. At least enjoys something geeky, either be it comic books, video games, or stuff like that. I think that has kind of led to these people with having higher expectations of what they can get in life, be it the trophy girlfriend or wife, and so on and so forth. And I feel like it's kind of led to it as well. Anybody who's on the internet knows that geek culture has become very toxic over the last decade, be it through Gamergate and so on and so forth, but that's probably a whole other topic we can go on to at another time.
All right. Now, Hafiz, as the only person that I know of on panel right now who's a person of color, have you ever felt that white people, a white person, has ever indicated to you overtly or covertly that you got an easy ride because of your skin color and that you somehow are living the life that they should be?
Well, look, as an immigrant, I've definitely received some resentment to the fact that I am here in Canada and this whole took our jobs kind of mentality. And relating back to that, I wanted to make a point that another reason that this situation is going on is because women don't have to fucking settle anymore. They can connect and have their own lives. They can get their own jobs and they can achieve on their own and compete with men. And I'm sorry, the lowest rung of men that don't want to actually do anything to achieve their dreams are going to be left behind. Whether it's because of people of any ethnicity coming here and pushing forward to get ahead, or women pushing forward to get ahead. And I think the fact that now they have to compete with that many more people on both women and people of color is an issue they all have. Because if you look at the Proud Boys and these organizations too, it seems to be also tied in. It's not just women. It's also people of other ethnicities and races.
It's interesting. You say that right off the top, you said that one of the issues is or one of the things that's changed is that women don't have to settle anymore. So this idea that in the past women were relatively economically disadvantaged or powerless, and would have to settle for making themselves available and pretty to these men, it's not there anymore, at least certainly not to the same extent. So now that women are able to be independent and earn their own incomes and reach their own dreams and job goals, men got to step up their game. And the men who don't have game are pissed off that they have to step up their game, because why should they have to? Stuff should just come easy to them. That's an interesting, it's an interesting point, that women gaining strength and confidence in the economy has made some people, as you said, on the lower, men on the lower rung of personality, for example, angry, because women who in the past may have held their nose and settled for this loser now say, no, I can afford to wait around for somebody who's actually better suited to me. Interesting point.
And look, if you look around and if you think back to what life was like in, you know, the 50s, 60s, 70s for a woman compared to what it is today, women don't have to get married. They don't have to find a husband that's going to take care of them. They can do these things on their own. And, you know, sometimes they can even find their own guy that they can take care of, right? I mean, I've known some useless D-bags that have gotten by on their girlfriend's coattails. And, you know, they're stay-at-home dudes. But this is the world we live in now. And some people, especially men, are going to be left behind if they don't actually try.
All right. Andy has something to say. What would you like to add?
Yeah, I mean, my real last point about this topic is that I would say that what this really boils down to is visibility. So in my own life, like when I was a kid, you know, we grew up in a neighborhood that, you know, slowly became more integrated with people who are just like first generation Canadians. And, you know, even in my school, it was like, we would call people chinks. We would call them Chinamen. Like, we would totally, like, for me, that felt okay. And, you know, even our next door neighbors, we started being like, why do they have four cars? Well, we didn't realize that they had four cars because all four people in that house were working. And it was two different families in that house. So I think what it comes down to is visibility. You grow up with a certain view. And then, you know, ideally, like myself, you grow out of it. But I think the thing with these Proud Boys is that they don't feel like they are being seen and that they're not being heard. And I think the great responsibility that comes with the power of change is that we can hopefully look at these people and say, look, I get it. You feel that you're being disadvantaged in some way. Perhaps, you know, I mean, I think it's really about visibility. They need to see the struggle that other people are going through, women are going through, and trans people are going through, but we also have to be respectful too, that like, look, they're probably going through some weird ass shit, and that's resulting in them feeling the way that they're feeling, and we have to be in tune with that. So I can respect where they're coming from and understand that like, they probably have some weird worldview, but there's reasons for that, and we need to really respect that.
Let me take this in a bit of a U-turn, all right?
Sure.
Do you think that men, white men, have any reason for their grievances? You see, hold on, shut up. We'll tell him done. And now you can have a grievance against me for telling you to shut up. Now, because we've been hearing about for a few decades now, programs that have been put in place to help encourage, for example, women to get into science, technology, things like that, that traditionally they shied away from because it wasn't considered feminine and their friends weren't going into it and they didn't want to be the only people. We've seen programs encouraging women to get into careers they hadn't been in before. They were male dominated, all right? We've seen programs that are that exist for immigrants and refugees to help them get settled, help them with their rent, you know, keeping a roof over their head, help them with medical care, help them with putting food on the table. We've seen a lot of attention paid towards these I'll call them visible groups of people, and the compassion that's been heaped on them has been significant. Meanwhile, we don't see the same kind of outreach towards groups of white men who have been affected by the change in the economy. Primarily, it's because of automation. Companies would love people to blame each other. The fact is that it's because companies are cheap as shit, and it's automation that's stealing our jobs. But do you understand? Do they have a point that now they actually are getting less help than people who aren't white men?
I agree. I absolutely agree with what you said, and I think it's absolutely true. At the moment in my life that I was the most racist, that hated every Native person, I absolutely had such hatred for every immigrant coming into this country. I thought, how dare they? At that point, that was when I was at my lowest economically. I was not in university. I didn't have a family or support network. And yeah, I 100% believe that's what causes people to feel this hatred, this pernicious hatred towards multitudes of people, multiple groups, because you're not supported. And you're seeing people being supported by yourself. And you feel like, imagine what that must feel like your whole life to get away with whatever jokes you want to get away with at work. And then a woman comes in and she's giving you the marching orders. I mean, my God, I've been in that position where I think, why is she all pissed off? What's her problem? I understand where these people are coming from because I've been on that side. Not a lot of people are willing to say that. And I think there's a lot of people that like to claim that they're on the left and that they're progressive, but yet they've never gone through that struggle. So I get that struggle.
The struggle of people who society is changing very fast. It's not giving them much chance to adapt. And yes, their economic circumstances make them just simply jealous of people that they perceive are not only doing better than them, but are getting help from official government sources and so on, and affirmative action programs that they themselves aren't, that they themselves are now the outcasts.
100%. And the thing is, yes, we should be supporting refugees, but at the same time, if you're not also supporting other people who are disadvantaged, you're going to get a big rise of hate groups that are going to come up, because guess what's going to happen? They're going to look at what's going on and pinpoint their personal cause to that. So yeah, I agree with everything you're saying, and I've been on that side. I know what that feels like, and I get it. And you know what? You're not wrong for feeling that way, because there's a reason why. But you know what? Hopefully you're able to kind of look past that, get some education, find resources, find a network of a community, and get out of that cycle of hatred.
Hey, you know what? I have to disagree with you. They are wrong for thinking that. They're not wrong.
Yeah, okay.
They're not wrong for thinking that the world is changing faster than we can keep up with. They're not wrong for recognizing that work and jobs and fields, which used to be the enclaves of straight white men or men who are white and claimed they were straight, are now shared by people of color, by women. And that means that the rules have changed. That means that the ignorant jokes that you used to make, the ignorant behaviors you used to do, are no longer allowed. So yeah, you know what? Your domain, your kingdom, it is in fact shrinking. And that's because we're now showing respect towards people of color and women and other gay people and so on that we always should have, but we didn't. And if you're pissed off because people are getting the respect now they didn't, and you feel that somehow that means you're not getting the respect that you're entitled to, I don't know what your situation is, but you got to think about that. But Justin wants to make a point. Justin.
Well, just to all of this, sort of where this started, I mean, you can sort of trace women's rights, especially in North America, back to the First and Second World Wars, where we literally, you know, the population of working-aged men dropped by hundreds of thousands in a relatively short period of time. And especially while all of those millions of men were overseas fighting wars, we needed people to do all the jobs that they had been doing at that time. So, you know, women entered the, largely white women entered the field of being waged employees, and a lot of them really experienced independence for the first time in their lives. They were making money. They didn't have a man in the house, you know, controlling or telling them what they could or couldn't do. It was up to them to raise or to control and run the household. And, you know, when the men kind of came back from war, they largely took their positions back and pushed women back into the home. And that stayed through, you know, the 1950s into kind of part of the 60s. And then, you know, there were a lot of women who had experienced that, that just, and very rightfully so, said, no, I like that. That was great. I want more of that. And that's kind of how all of those movements, or when at least they really started. And that's sort of the same time period that you can look at when you look at this message of like Trump down in the States and these right-wing people down there, the Make America Great Again. That's the time period they're talking about, is when women were pushed back into the home and there was the whole, you know, one man could work one job and support his whole family and have, you know, two cars and 1.5 children or whatever it was.
And make jokes about black people and gays and slap women on the ass that were doing the secretarial and clerical jobs in the office. I mean, it's the TV show Mad Men that sort of chronicled the changing of the workplace. And you know what? I guess I can understand if you feel like other people are getting ahead with help and nobody's helping you and you feel your kingdom shrinking. I can understand from, I guess, an intellectual point of view, becoming jealous and bitter. But at the same time, grow the fuck up. You're not entitled to anything. Everybody is struggling, especially since the last recession. Jobs have come back, but they're not the jobs that they were before. They don't pay what they were before. They don't advance to what they were before. It would be just like the fact that, you know, the largest group of suicides in our society are men over the age of 50. And that's because they tend to feel like they're outmoded. But the world doesn't need them anymore because people don't want to hire them. They want to hire younger kids, pay them half or a quarter of what they paid the experienced person. And so a lot of people, men in their 50s, If they were angry, if they formed incel-type groups angry at younger people because those people are taking their jobs, which in fact they are, I could see that. But at the same time, hatred never solved anything. And blaming another group that is taking advantage of a vacuum that exists, don't blame the people that take advantage of the vacuum, because you would do the damn same thing yourself. And you know what? That idea that person of color, that woman, if you're a white man, that person of color, that woman, they're taking my job. That wasn't your job to begin with. It was a job. All right. And just because before you thought that you had a better chance of getting it because of your skin color, and now you don't, that was never your job. That job never had your name on it. That job never said reserved for this white person. These are just jobs. And now more people of color and women are being educated and qualified for these jobs. And so if it increases competition, I'm sorry. Welcome to capitalism. Welcome to life as a human being. Sean, you want to say something?
Oh, I just wanted to point out the fact that it's kind of ironic that the people who are most loud about victim culture and complain about victim culture are usually the ones who are now saying that they're victims.
Which is a good point. You get a lot of, traditionally, these groups, these Proud Boys and so on, they align themselves with right-wing ideologies. Those right-wing groups say that people of color, gay people, non-binary people, women, who have been speaking up for rights they deserve, that these people are saying that they're victims, and they make fun of them. And they say that this is victim culture, where they themselves, these white people, are the ones who are actually the ones that are aggrieved because they think they're the actual victims.
Yeah. And going on to what you were saying earlier as well, is a lot of people complain about like the illegals coming up from the US and even here in Canada, that they're going to be taking jobs, but without pointing out the fact that the illegals that come into into the US and Canada tend to do the jobs that nobody else wants to do, picking oranges and other vegetables and stuff like that. So they weren't ever taking anybody's job, any American jobs, because these are jobs that Americans think they're too good for. So it's left to somebody else to do it. And it just happens to be the illegals that come in or looking for any job are more than happy to take it and get paid pennies on the dollar to do it.
Yeah, which is true. All right. I guess we've sort of explored more the aspect of where the anger comes from that's fueling these groups like the Proud Boys, than the incels, who are just people, guys, who had this crazy notion that the world owed them some kind of life and owed them female companionship that they considered to be of the highest quality of attractiveness. And when they don't get it, they get angry. We used to call those Star Trek conventions. You know, the truth is that it has always come down to you got to step up your game. And as has been pointed out, women now today have empowered themselves. They have more options. So if you want to be Kevin James in a sitcom married to Courtney Thorne-Smith, well, then you better get yourself into a better shape and work on your personality, because nobody is obligated, no woman is obligated to spend their time with somebody they find odious and they don't have any connection with, and no employer is required to hire you because of the color of your skin. But there are those who are simply believe that North America, Canada, the United States were created for white Europeans, and that the rest of the people who they allowed to come over here to do the dirty work, it doesn't matter if they're actual legal citizens, they're guests. That people, women, but especially people of color and ethnicity and other religions, you're guests in this country. And you've gone from being guests to saying, no, we want our seat at the table as full citizens, just like every other legal citizen. And you've got the people who looked down on everyone else and said, your guests, saying, well, you know what? The guests are getting uppity and they need to be put in their place. And that's, I think, where a lot of these angry groups are coming from. Anyone have a comment on that?
Wow. I just completely agree with it, really. Is again, you tied it back into the points that we kind of made earlier of where it all came from. Is, you know, you've got these guys who were raised still, like, I think the sort of like the zeitgeist and everything around this has not quite kept up with the reality of the situation, in that you still have people RA. Like, I'm 35 right now, and I was still raised in a culture that said, yeah, if you finish high school, maybe go to college, maybe not, depends if you can get a good job. And then you will just find a partner. They'll just find their way to you, as though that's all you needed, was just to supply an income, and that's it. You're now going to have a family, and it's all just going to happen. And it's funny, if you go to like counseling practices, especially to do with couples counseling, you learn very quickly that the worst thing you can do to another person in a relationship is violate their expectations. And I think that's where this whole incel thing is born from, is these guys, for whatever reason, and there's many of them, they have the expectation that they're going to be good enough based on a few very basic things. And when they don't get the reward that they were promised, they get real pissed off about it.
All right. It's probably a good place to end it. Though I do want to ask, I just noticed that Andy Willis's mic has been muted. I want to know if he's gone to get food again.
No, I didn't, but you know what I did? I just donated $10 a month on Patreon to the FDU Network, so hopefully everyone gets on board. Put your money where your mouth is. I'm sitting here. I got a beautiful platform to sit and chat. I get to spread my legs and spread the word about all things I want to talk about on the FU Network, and I love it. So I'm donating $10 a month. Ed, hope you use it for something. I don't know, Hall's cough drops, whatever you need it for.
And, thank you very much. Yeah, no, I'm going to use welcome. It. I'm using it for counseling now, thinking about doing shows with you sitting there with your legs wide open.
Woo! I'm man-spreading. It's great. Well, what else would you do?
Thank you for the Patreon donation. And I want to also compliment you on that wonderful impression of Charles Nelson Reilly that you did off the top without you being old enough to know who Charles Nelson Reilly is. Well done. And that brings us to the end of Mensplaining. I want to thank Sean Wilton. Thanks for being here, Sean.
No problem.
Justin D. Whitehead. What's the D stand for today, Justin?
We'll stick with dim because I never came up with one this week.
Well, then it definitely does apply.
Yeah.
Hafiz Norani, thank you for producing and putting this program together again.
You're very welcome, Ed.
All right. Andy Willis, close your legs. And to all of you out there, take a page out of Andy's book, not in posture, but in contributing to the FU Network, FU Politics, to this show, Mensplaining, by donating what you can. Become a subscriber. Become a supporter. Consider yourself contributing to the FU Fund. The Fund. FU_ND. The Fund. All right? You're helping to rebuild the tier of media that was torn away from us by powerful companies, many of them American, and no longer reflect who we are as Canadians. These shows that are made in Canada don't talk like Canadians, don't look like Canadians, they don't think like Canadians. Here on our network, everybody is a citizen broadcaster, and we talk like Canadians because we are Canadians, and we look like you, we think like you, we express like you, and we don't use a lot of jargon. So patreon.com, Patreon is with an E, patreon.com/FU Network TV, or PayPal, you want to just drop us a donation there, do it to our email address, funetworktv@gmail.com. And I want to thank everybody for participating here on Mensplaining, which is men talking to men about how to be better men in 2019. I'm Ed the Sock, and this is Fun, the FU Network's FU Politics channel.
For he's a jolly good fellow. For he's a jolly good fellow. For he's a jolly good fellow. Let's all say all of us.
This is Fun, the FU Network.